right, Tuesday afternoon, and what an incredible Tuesday afternoon it is. Just really beautiful and very comfortable. It's going to be great today. Have you noticed the forecast for this weekend is just like last weekend? They're calling for showers, possibly severe storms on Saturday, and Sunday's going to be beautiful. And Sunday's the day of the St. Patrick's Day Parade on Metairie Road, and also the crew of Argus is going to roll in conjunction with that. So it's good news for Sunday, but Saturday doesn't sound great. However, think back on this past Saturday. I missed it. Did the meteorologist ever talk about why it didn't really develop into a big system like they expected? Because last week, we were told that Saturday was going to be terrible. And where I live at West End, at 10:30 at night, I got the first shower. Now, some of you may have gotten some showers, but for the most part, that really wasn't a very big deal Saturday. Now, they're saying this week that they don't know how the system is going to develop, which is good, which basically says, hey, you know what? It might sound bad, but it might not be as bad as we're suggesting. So I hope everything works out. Whatever plans are for Saturday, I hope everything works out great. But there is that chance. And we'll know more over the next couple of days. I'm Scoot on the air. I'm really glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. We have a lot to get to. And I'm still shocked by the news this morning that Southwest Airlines is going to start charging for baggage. Now, if you're a special Southwest member, if you pay a little extra here and there, then you get your bags free. They're also going to eliminate open seating. And Southwest Airlines is going to move toward reserve seating. You know, they're changing their whole business plan. And one of the things that has made Southwest so successful over the years is their business plan. Southwest Airlines started as an airline in Texas that flew between Dallas, San Antonio, and Houston, and back to Dallas. It was that triangle. And there was a lot of business in Texas going through those cities. So it went Dallas, San Antonio, Houston, Dallas. And that was it. And when Southwest started to expand, they were brilliant in the way they did it. They very slowly and cautiously expanded. And they kept some things intact. And they have been respected and studied by marketing classes all over the country for their ability to market this airline. And while a lot of airlines have come and gone, a lot of low-cost airlines have come and gone, Southwest Airlines has done well. Now, I don't think their stock prices were ever that great, and I don't think the airlines do that well. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here. I'm not a stock market expert, but I followed this a while back, and I was surprised that Southwest Airlines didn't have better stock prices because it was such a successful business model. And almost every Southwest Airlines flight I got on seemed to be full. There were a few exceptions, but for the most part, man, those flights were full. So I thought, well, you know, they're doing really great. And I checked stock prices, and they weren't really that great. So anyway, you know, when you mess with the business model, you really take chances. But Southwest says that they need to do this to keep up. So we'll see what happens. Southwest is not always the cheapest airline. They don't always have the lowest fare. They consistently have low fares, but they do not always have the lowest fare. And now if they're charging for baggage, that's going to cause some people to consider other airlines when maybe they wouldn't have considered that before. All right, we'll talk a little bit about that later on. Also, the city council is saying that Mayor Cantrell broke the law. And right now, they're just talking about this, and there's been no announcement of any punishment. There doesn't have to be an announcement yet, but the city council has to punish Mayor Cantrell for breaking this law and going to D.C. when she wasn't supposed to travel. The city says, well, the plan was made, the trip plans were made before this ordinance was enacted by the city council. Well, that doesn't matter. You know, you can cancel trips. You don't have to go on a trip. You can cancel. So that's really not an excuse. But the mayor is brazen, and she's arrogant. And if the city council wants to complain about the mayor, they need to punish her. And if they don't punish her, they need to just be quiet and not do anything. But the city council, on behalf of the taxpayers of New Orleans, every one of the city council members, they owe it to the citizens of New Orleans to hold Mayor Cantrell accountable. And maybe they haven't done enough to punish her. This, oh, she shouldn't have done this, she shouldn't have done that, this little slap on the hand thing, that's not working against somebody as brazen and arrogant as Mayor Cantrell. So they need to punish her. She's, in all probability, she's going to D.C., you know, on a job search. And she's going on our tax dollars. Now, I heard something in there about how, oh, the city taxpayers are not paying for this trip. I'd like to see how that's going to play out. So, you know, anyway, here we go with the mayor again. Mayor Cantrell breaking the law. And if the city council doesn't do anything about it, well, then that becomes a problem for the city council. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce have been spotted for the first time since the Super Bowl loss that Kansas City suffered here in New Orleans. They have been seen in Park City, Utah. And boy, this is a beautiful time of year to be in Park City. At spring skiing and spring snowboarding is amazing. So anyway, they are together and everything seems to be kosher at this particular point. We've talked about this before, but there's more vandalism against Tesla owners. And this is because people don't like Elon Musk. And they're mad at Elon Musk for the firings that Doja is part of. And they're just mad at Elon Musk, and they don't like the fact that he's co-president. And so people are taking it out on people who own Teslas. You know, and I want to warn you, you know, while that is it's a tangible object that you can attack, and you can't attack Elon Musk, and you can't get to Elon Musk, you can attack a Tesla. That's somebody's property. And you really shouldn't be attacking a Tesla, because it's not the Tesla's fault. You know, we don't control who gives birth to us. Elon Musk gave birth to the Tesla. That's not the Tesla's fault. The Tesla is in this world innocent of any wrongdoing. They didn't do anything wrong. They're just here. So, you know, leave the Tesla alone. Leave the Tesla dealerships alone. No need for vandalism there. Those people are just trying to make a living. You can be mad at Elon Musk, but I don't think you should take it out on Tesla or the Tesla dealerships. Let's see. So there's more going on with the tariffs and the trade wars. And I mentioned yesterday, there's a Canadian energy company that provides some energy to citizens in Minnesota and New York. And it might be one other state as well, but Minnesota and New York, they get some of their energy from a Canadian energy company. This Canadian energy company is putting a new tariff on energy to U.S. citizens. And the U.S. citizens that get their energy from this Canadian company, the average customer is going to pay an average of $100 more a month because of the tariff war. So that's significant. Another $100 a month. And then there's something in the news about Donald Trump bitching about this, and yet he was part of the deal that led to this happening in the first place. Man, I can't wait to get to that later. Because again, you know, I hate to say it, but I get so much enjoyment out of pointing out hypocrisy, not just with Republicans or Donald Trump, but with everybody. And there's just too much hypocrisy. And I don't see why people don't do a better job seeing their own hypocrisy. But, you know, but they don't. And now Donald Trump says that he wants to double down on tariffs on Canadian steel and aluminum, wants to raise it to 50%. So we could be headed for a recession. And this is not going to be Joe Biden's recession. It might have been had it happened organically, but it's not happening organically. It's happening because of Donald Trump's actions. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, Rick Springfield is dealing with a brain injury that came from a fall 25 years ago. He fell off a stage 25 years ago, and he had a whole body scan done, and there's brain damage. And I'll tell you, the times that I have been in Rick's presence, the times that I have seen him on stage, I've never noticed anything wrong. I don't think Rick really knew exactly what was wrong. I wanted to talk to him. I talked to his manager just a little while ago, and his manager says that Rick is really tied up today and the rest of this week, that maybe next week or sometime in the very near future, we'll talk to Rick about this and some other things. And he's got a new album coming out as well. So, you know, he seems to be doing fine. He doesn't drink as much as he used to, and he really just talks about health in general. Rick Springfield is 75 years old, and the guy is ripped. I mean, I'm not kidding. He's ripped like a 35-year-old. He works out. He's very health conscious, and the guy looks great. But this has got to be, you know, a little concerning that he's got this brain damage from a fall 25 years ago. And Luke Combs, the country music artist, is suffering from a rare mental disorder that he says is all-encompassing. Have you learned about anything about yourself or your brain in recent life? You know, I've shared my story of my, you know, dealing with obsessive-compulsive disorder. I have a very serious case of that. It's under control now. I mean, I still deal with it, but it's basically under control. I wish I could just get rid of it, but, you know, you can't. So I deal with it. It's under control. But, you know, I mean, I hated my life, and it was terrible. And, you know, for a lot of baby boomers, we had issues, serious issues that they didn't know anything about. Psychiatrists, doctors didn't know anything about these things that were a problem for us. And so we just had to deal with it. And you know, maybe you got help later. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Rob Lowe said that he was required to do steamy sex scenes back in the 80s. And he says now that's unusual for an actor. I think that's going to lead us to a discussion about, I mean, we don't have to go into graphic details, but what were some of the steamiest, sexiest scenes in movies? We'll talk about that in the 3 o'clock hour. Let's see, what else? If you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Oh, I know, I wanted to bring this up. You know, I've talked about the problem with allowing trans men or women who are truly trans, allowing them in the bathroom that corresponds with their gender at birth. There's a problem there. And this problem came up in Arizona when a woman who went into the Tucson Walmart bathroom was in a stall, and the police showed up, flashed a light on her shoes, and said, "Please come out. We need to talk to you. You need to come out. You need to get out of here." This was a trans woman who looked like a man, but she had a vagina. In fact, she lifted up her skirt or pants. I think she was wearing pants, whatever. She lifted it up and showed it to the police. And they said she still looked like a man. The problem with true trans people in the bathrooms that correspond with their gender at birth is that they look like men, or they look just like women. And there are going to be a lot of average people who use these restrooms who think they're in the restroom, in the ladies' room, with a man. But it's a woman. If she has a, you know, she's a woman, even though she looks like a dude. And some people who are trans look just like dudes. So many people who comment on this issue don't even know trans people. I mean, they think it's so easy to spot trans people. It's not that easy. And so what you're saying is it's best for a woman who looks just like a dude. And when I say looks like a dude, I mean, you can't tell that it's a woman. And I know somebody like this. I know somebody who has a daughter that has become her son. And I have been in his presence. You can't tell. I mean, you beard and everything, you cannot tell. But this person still has a vagina. And then there are men who look that much like women that you want them in the men's room. So anyway, we'll talk a little bit more. We'll talk more details about this coming up in just a bit. Let's see. If you want to join us with a comment, excuse me, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon to you, too, as well.
Yeah, I know you know about this issue, but it is quite possible that people are going to see what they think is a man in the ladies' room, and it's really a woman. And she even showed her you-know-what to the cops, and one of them still said, well, you still look like a man. Well, whether she looks like a man or not, she is biologically a woman, and even though she looks just like a man and might be intimidating to other women in the bathroom, that's where she belongs, according to many laws.
Yeah, are you talking about the in Phoenix, in Pima County, Arizona? Is that where the story was? Okay, good.
Yes.
Because I wasn't sure. Because the volume of stories like this that are coming down the pike for every single one of us is going to be huge. This issue, I mean, if you're one of the people that, is saying like, let's keep the trans people out of the wrong bathrooms. Like, if you think that issue is going away because of all these new laws dictating that your, sex assigned at birth is where you have to go pee, because those laws are being implemented around the country, that this story is going away, man, you got a rude awakening coming. You're going to see stories like this happening multiple times a day, everywhere across the country, in cities and in towns and airports and stadiums and schools and offices and everywhere else. And I hope that when that moment comes that you realize, oh, I actually had it totally backwards about this, and you should let people use the bathroom that corresponds with their gender, then I hope you remember who warned you about this.
Yeah,
and what a stupid thing this is to do.
We've been talking about this for a long time, and the judgment on this issue comes from people who are ignorant about trans people. There are women. I mean, are you listening? There are women, and I guarantee that you could not tell they're women. There are women you cannot tell. Voice, clothing, no breasts, a beard, and just, again, clothing that a man would wear. The way a man would wear it. What about your daughter going into that bathroom and there's somebody like that going into a stall? Your daughter or granddaughter may be freaked out because they're going to think it's a man. But if you want people in the bathroom based on their gender at birth, then you're saying you want that person in there. That person is going to intimidate people. And there could even be some stupid man who comes on to some really attractive trans person who is really a male who looks just like a woman who is in the men's room. And when he reaches down there, he's going to find a surprise. He's going to find something he didn't expect to find. And he deserves that. But this is what is going to result from this. So, we'll talk about this afternoon. All right, if you've got a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the air. And again, I'm going to say this one more time. The city council must punish Mayor Cantrell, or the city council has failed because she broke the law. It's another incredible afternoon. I hope you have enjoyed a little bit of light at the end of the day. You know, I noticed that traffic yesterday, I was out in traffic after the show, and I noticed that traffic in general on the Pontchartrain Expressway was lighter earlier. And I wonder if people really made an effort to try to get home earlier because it was going to be light. I don't know, maybe that was a part of your plan, but it definitely wasn't as heavy as I was expecting. And the only thing that was different was we had switched to daylight savings time. I'm Scoot. I'm glad you're with us. Southwest Airlines ending free checked baggage policy. Not happy about that. I mean, this was really one of the great things about flying Southwest. And everything about flying Southwest is not the most convenient thing. But getting, free checked bags, That was cool. Now, if you're a Rapid Rewards A-List preferred member or a passenger who's part of the top tier business select group, then you're going to be able to have two bags free. Frequent flyer A-List members, Southwest branded credit card holders. Oh, I have one of those. And other select passengers will be allowed one check bag. Okay, well, I've got a Southwest credit card, so I'm feeling a little better about that. But all of the passengers are going to be charged for their first and second bags on flights booked after May 28th. Big change. And then I think Southwest is ultimately going to move toward select seating, assigned seating. You know, one of the benefits of Southwest Airlines, and I don't mean this in a negative way, because, look, I've got grandkids who travel, and I respect people who have to travel with their kids, but sometimes you might not be in the mood to be around children, and that's okay. Sometimes you can't avoid it, but sometimes you can't avoid it. One thing that I like about Southwest Airlines, especially if you're in that B boarding group, or maybe even late in the A group, you can kind of see where the kids are seated, because many of them board early, and you can kind of see where the families are, and you can go sit somewhere else. If you've got assigned seating in advance of getting on the flight, you don't ever know where you're going to end up on that flight, and you might end up right next to the kids. And again, I'm not saying anything negative about kids, but you know, often when I fly, I'm reading something for work, or I'm writing, or I'm doing work. And I want to concentrate. And as much as I love kids, there are times that I don't want to be around the kids. And so that's one of the things that I liked about the idea that I can pick my, say, okay, we'll see, there's this family here, this family there, there's that family there, and that family there. So there's a spot for me to go, and I'm not going to be around a family. So that was always one of the benefits that I thought about that. Hey, here's something we have to talk about this afternoon. Bill Maher was in an interview with Kid Rock yesterday. This was on his podcast, Club Random. And Bill Maher said to Kid Rock, I don't know if I'll ever see another Democrat president. And Bill Maher may be right. Bill Maher may be right. Who are the Democrats coming up? Who are the young Democrats? I'm sure they're out there. They got to be out there. There have to be some moderate Democrats who are cool enough to not be some whacked out left-wing radical liberal. They've got to be some Democrats who aren't, you know, Antifa kissing, you know, ACO butt kissing liberals. There've got to be some moderate Democrats who could steal a lot of votes from Republicans because they're not Donald Trump, or because they're not right-wing radicals. There've got to be some Democrats out there, but where are they? And man, this is the time to start giving them some publicity. So again, I don't know where they are. So I agree with Bill Maher. It's possible, unless things change for the Democrats, there will never be another Democrat who's president of the United States. All right, I'm Scoot. Let's go to Janice in New Orleans. Hello, Janice. How are you?
Hello. How are you, Scoot?
Great.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. Okay. Well, I know that you go to Oregon and everything, you know, and you fly. Last night, I saw something, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. You know how sometimes you see something, you're reading it, and you're thinking, oh, wait a minute. When did this happen? Was this from a few weeks back or what? Well, I got a shock last night. I realized that what I was reading, I was looking at the date and everything, I was reading, it was in Pennsylvania, I think Lancaster. Yeah. It was Sunday. There was a plane crash, and then yesterday a plane crash. What was becoming weekly is now becoming daily, and it had me very upset. I just couldn't get over what I was seeing. One was a medical plane, it said, and there were five people dead. I think it was the pilot and five people they had on the plane there. Five people dead on the plane. Two plane crashes in 2 days. I don't know what's happening. And insofar as this trans situation, I know somebody, well, I don't know them anymore. They passed away. I don't know why, a few years back. And this is how it goes, and this is not good. It's a tricky situation, the whole thing. It really is. When you're transitioning, you have to live it for a year before you can take the testosterone, let's say, or the estrogen, okay, and then you have the physical surgery. Now, I asked this person, we were communicating on Facebook. He was wearing a wig and a dress, and I mean, you could tell it was a man. Now, I know that the person would never harm a woman. This person wasn't that kind of person. But I mean, any guy could go wear a wig, wear a dress, go in a women's bathroom. I asked him, I said, okay, I said, you live in this for a year, but you haven't taken any of the hormones yet, and of course, you haven't had the surgery. And there was a picture of him and someone else, another person, sitting at a table at a restaurant. So I said, what happens when you have to go to a bathroom? I said, you obviously can't go in the men's room looking like that. And you know, so he says, he was going in the women's room. But, I mean, you could look at him and see he was a man.
Mm-hmm.
Not having any estrogen or anything yet, nothing had changed. It was a man. You could tell he was what he was born.
But and as you said, it's kind of tricky because it's tricky because you said to him, well, you can't go in the men's room dressed like that because it doesn't seem logical that you go in the men's room dressed like that. But he still looks like a man, so he might freak people out in the ladies' room. But Janice, do you trust me when I tell you that there are women?
No, I never trust you. I'm joking.
There are women. You would not know that they're women. They look so much like men.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's the same thing, right?
If that person goes in the ladies' room, that person is going to freak out a lot of people because they look just like a man.
Right. That's what I'm saying. The whole thing, there was a man, well, I call it a man, wanted to join the police force, and they didn't let him. But I don't think that was right. I don't think that should have been based on the fact that he was transgender. I think it should have been based on other things. But I mean, to see, I sent a picture the other day of him to my cousin, to see this person, it's a man, really.
Janice,
and I don't know what's in his underwear or anything, but still, to look at him, he's a man. And
Janice,
he shouldn't go in the ladies' room, no.
Aren't you glad that you and I don't have to worry about this? Because you are the epitome of femininity, and I am the epitome of masculinity, and you and I don't have to worry about this.
Well, I mean, if you're out in public, well, I mean, you wouldn't have to worry about it, because a man isn't going to rape a man, and a woman isn't going to really rape a man.
Wait a minute. Men rape men. Men rape men.
Well, I mean,
I don't have any firsthand experience, but men rape men. And Janice, I can't tell you how many times that I'm looked at and people see me at the sink in the men's room and they walk in and then they walk right back out and look at the door because they think they see me. They think they walked into the ladies' room. I don't think I look
anything
like a woman.
Yeah, well, one time I thought I was going into the men's room. They had a woman standing there and I was looking at the face, you know. I didn't realize that there weren't urinals there, and the person was standing sideways looking down at the phone.
Well, wait, you thought you were going into the men's room? You wanted to go into the men's room?
No, I thought I accidentally
I didn't go in, but I said to myself,
wait a minute, I'm going the wrong way.
And then
I realized that, and I eventually went in, and it was a woman. I found out what it was later. It was a lesbian. It was a woman who looked like a man.
Okay, I need to get to a break here.
She was a woman.
I need to get to a break here. I can't explain the plane crashes. I think it's just a coincidence. I mean, I wonder if when it comes to civil aviation, I wonder if there have been any changes that have led some people to flying when they shouldn't fly. I wonder if there's a lack of upkeep when it comes to some aircraft. I can't explain it. It might just be a coincidence, but to this day, I'm not afraid to fly. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Okunar Jewelers Talking Text Line, 504-260-1870. Bill Belichick, he's the head coach of the University of North Carolina Tar Heels. He used to be the coach of the Patriots. Bill Belichick is 72. His girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, is 24. Whenever he goes somewhere, it looks like it must be Daddy Bring Your Daughter to Work Day. So this is kind of funny. Bill Belichick appears to fall asleep at a basketball game with his girlfriend Jennifer Hudson next to him. I wonder if Jordan maybe kept Daddy up a little bit late the night before. You know, I mean, I know it's cool to be with somebody younger, but in the case of Bill Belichick, it just seems to be a little bit ridiculous. But hey, you know what? If you fall in love with somebody, you fall in love with them. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, it was on this day in 1975, Alice Cooper released the album Welcome to My Nightmare. This was the first album that was considered Alice's first solo artist album. He had been with the Alice Cooper Band that had broken up, and Welcome to My Nightmare was his first album as a solo artist, and he's been a solo artist since then. There was a tour that followed the release of the album that was incredible. The production was amazing, with dancers and video screens and giant spiders and just a very macabre, dark ambiance about this. In fact, Alice Cooper, I think this was the year, it was either 75 or 76, I think it was 75. This was the year that Alice Cooper was the Grand Marshal of Endymion. And if you have any pictures of Alice Cooper in Endymion, when you look at the float and you see the Cyclops, I'm in the Cyclops outfit. They needed somebody who was under 5'8" to be in the costume, and that was me. And I had a great time, but it was kind of brutal. But, you know, there's something interesting about Alice today, because Alice is now a born-again Christian. And so in my last conversation with Alice, I asked him, does your born-again Christian beliefs, do they contradict your dark, macabre stage persona?
No, I've examined it very, very closely. What I do on stage is pure theater. Rock and roll does not belong to the devil. I don't know how he got his hands on it. Some of it does, I would say, you know. But I think if it's quality and it's really good, it probably belongs to the Lord.
Yeah, I love that answer. I thought that was just the coolest answer. All right, I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us. A beautiful Tuesday afternoon, and we're talking about a number of things, as we usually are. And again, I want to say this. There should be pressure on the New Orleans City Council to punish Mayor Cantrell. Don't pass a law and let her defy the law. And the law was, the ordinance was, no city employees traveling, not even to conferences, because the city claims it doesn't have any money. And Mayor Cantrell goes to this conference. Now, I think there's something in the story about taxpayers are not being billed for this. You know, this could be smoke and mirrors from the mayor. But I'd like to see some proof of that. But if the mayor did indeed travel on taxpayer dollars, the city council has no choice but to punish her. I mean, they really don't. If the city council wants any credibility whatsoever, they need to punish her. And there are a few people on there. One of them's already announced that she's running for governor, for mayor. If there are people on there running for mayor, how they treat this is going to have an impact on what they say when they're running for mayor. I mean, if somebody from the outside runs for mayor and the city council's sitting there and they don't do anything to punish Mayor Cantrell, then that's a problem. That's a problem for the city council. I mean, they've got to punish her. You can't let her just, do whatever she wants to do. I mean, she's brazen enough to do whatever she wants to do, but you really can't let her get away with that. And if you do, then that is a problem. Ian, do we have time for any text? Okay, we don't. All right, we're going to get to your text when we come back in the next hour. And a lot more still to talk about. And, I'm concerned about Rick Springfield. He has now discovered that he has brain damage as a result of a concert fall 25 years ago. But he's also talking about wanting to know what's wrong with him. And some people don't want to know. Some people don't want to know if there's something wrong with them. And he said that his dad put off getting a checkup for a long, long time. And his dad ended up dying because he had a stomach issue and didn't want to know what was wrong. So he didn't get help. And so Rick is very, very health conscious. And, especially if you're a baby boomer, are you doing things to make yourself healthier now? And what are those things? because, you know, you can live a really long, great life. I mean, look at Mick Jagger. People like that are still kicking it, and he's over 80 years old. So, you know, it can be done. And for those of you who are millennials and Zoomers and Xers, you know, you got to be thinking about your bodies, too, and what you put in your bodies. And if you take care of your bodies, you, too, could live a very long, great life. We'll talk more about that coming up in the next hour. All right, if you do want to join us with a comment, the Okidar Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Here's another track from, we used to say this back in FM radio. Here's another track from Alice Cooper's latest release, Welcome to My Nightmare. This is Department of Youth, Alice Cooper. We'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, a sad day on this day. Last year, 2024, Eric Carmen, at the age of 74, passed away. Eric Carmen was first with the Raspberries. They had a big hit in 1972, Go All the Way. It made it all the way to number 5 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Always loved that song. It was banned by the BBC in the UK for sexually suggestive lyrics. You know, go all the way. Like, you know, if you're in the back seat of a car, you're first base, second base. Oh, go all the way. Go home. Go all the way. Anyway, later in life, he had solo hits like Hungry Eyes and Make Me Lose Control. Eric Carmen passed away at the age of 74 1 year ago today. All right, we're coming back with a lot more. I'm Scoot on the Air. It's a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I hope you get a chance to enjoy it now or after work, now that it's a little lighter. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 1958, after she found out that her husband, Jerry Lee Lewis, had married his 13-year-old cousin, Jane Mitchum, filed for divorce. Now, let's see, what are the grounds for divorce here? Okay. First of all, you're married and you marry somebody else. Not only do you marry somebody else, you marry your 13-year-old cousin. Oh, my God. You know, this practically derailed. In fact, it derailed Jerry Lee Lewis's career. Because right after the news broke that he married his 13-year-old cousin, Myra, and apparently she wasn't too hip on the idea, but it was like okay with the parents. I have talked about this throughout my career. And I talked about this last year at this time. And if you were with me, you remember us talking about this. But I, you know, for some reason, it's just really hitting me today. I knew it was outrageous, but it's just hitting me today exactly how outrageous that was. You marry your 13-year-old cousin. Cousin. So, Jerry Lee Lewis went to the UK right after this news broke, and he was shunned by the British people. And he came back, and his career was for a while in shambles. I mean, he kind of made a bit of a comeback, I think, but he made a big mistake. And it's nice to know that society collectively has standards, and you can't marry your 13-year-old cousin without getting in trouble. And then you're married, and then you marry your 13-year-old cousin. So, yeah, I think she had grounds for divorce. I'm Scoot on the Air. I'm really glad you're with us. We're talking about a number of things. We're not focusing on the tariff trade war, but that continues, and the stock market is down again. And there are many, many experts who believe that Donald Trump is manufacturing a recession. Is he some kind of financial genius, and he wants this recession? It seems like he does, because it's kind of coming out of nowhere. I mean, we could have gone along without raising tariffs, and even if the United States is being taken advantage of, we could have gone on with being taken advantage of, and things were going pretty well. I mean, the economy was doing really well. The economy was doing well under Biden. Many Republicans and conservatives, Democrats, of course, as well, and independents. I mean, many Americans loved their 401k plan under Joe Biden because the 401k plans did really well under Joe Biden. And right now, under Donald Trump, they're tanking. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, it's easy for Donald Trump, and it's easy for people who have money to say, oh, this is just a period of transition. Well, I'm in a position to where I can say that. I can say this is just a period of transition, but I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the people who are hurt by this right now. And some people are going to be hurt, and they might not even recover from this. I have confidence that all of this is going to be okay in the end. I don't know what the end is going to look like, but this is not going to last forever. The stock market, I don't think, is going to plummet forever. I don't think we're going to go into depression. Donald Trump was predicting that when he was running for president and just talked about how great things were going to be. So it seems like his bully attitude towards certain things, like, yeah, we're going to make those countries pay. It seems like that is the reason that all of this is happening. And, you know, now Canada is ramping things up. And I think Donald Trump, as I have said before, I think Donald Trump assumed that he was so big and powerful being president of the United States that he could do whatever he wanted and these other countries would have no recourse. Well, as it turned out, these other countries do have recourse, and they're threatening to put tariffs on the United States. And then now Donald Trump is doubling down on tariffs on Canadian steel and aluminum, wants to make it 50%. So the trade war is intensifying. And there are people who are talking about Donald Trump playing with people's 401ks like it's his play toy. Like he's playing with people's retirement plans to satisfy his own ego. And Fox News' Peter Ducey, who I consider to be borderline right-wing radical, Fox News' Peter Ducey says that these retirement accounts are being throttled by Trump's trade war. And he said this yesterday. Actually, he said this earlier today. And he said the trade war is raging on, pointing out that, you know, this is a problem for, you know, a lot of people, a lot of Americans. So, you know, again, let's see how this plays out. And I hope nobody is hurt in the meantime. But don't underestimate that some people could be hurt and they may not totally recover. Hey, look, I talked about this at the beginning of the show, and you just heard this again in our news. And if you're just tuning in, are you not surprised about Southwest Airlines now charging for bags? I'm surprised about this. Now, I have a Southwest Airlines credit card, so I assume that I'm going to be able to get one free bag checked, and that's cool because that's what I usually travel with. You know, but the other thing is, you know, when you start messing with a successful business plan, then if you start messing with that, you could be looking for trouble. So we'll see what happens with Southwest. But see, now that I'm, you know, going to be able to go visit my son and his family in Portland, and now that I'm going to be able to visit them flying a nonstop flight, Alaska Airlines has a nonstop now between New Orleans and Portland. I'm thrilled because, you know, I have flown to Atlanta as a stop off going to Portland. And that's even in the other direction. But that, you know, to get good airfare. I've flown to Atlanta. I've flown to Chicago. This is on my way to Portland. I've flown to L.A., San Diego, San Jose, Las Vegas. Denver's the easy way. Salt Lake City's the easy way because it's like just, you know, it's a stop along the way. But many of these other stops are way out of the way. So, yeah, I'm going to be thrilled to fly nonstop. So that's going to lean me toward flying Alaska over Southwest Airlines. So we'll see how all that turns out. Also, earlier we talked about this this woman in Arizona, and she was harassed in the women's restroom at the Walmart in Tucson, or at a Walmart. I'm assuming there's more than one Walmart in Tucson. But Kalayla Morton, 19 years old, of Phoenix, said that she and her ex-girlfriend were using two stalls adjacent to each other in the store's women's restroom, and two male police officers came in the restroom, shined a light on their feet, and told them, "You have to get out of here. You have to come out. We need to talk to you." And apparently, store employees had been watching them and saw them go into the ladies' room and thought it was two men. And for those of you who think it's easy to tell, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, because there are trans women who look just like men. Beard, no breast, the way they dress, the way they talk, you would never know. And I've got firsthand experience with this because a friend of mine has a daughter that turned into a son. Now, Now, again, this friend of mine, this person looks just like a male, but she still has female parts. And so this person in Tucson, who was called out by the deputies, she actually, let me see what it says. She actually, what does it say here? She actually lifted up, trying to get to this part of the story. First of all, she's identified as a stud. Now, that is trans slang for a black masculine presenting lesbian. She's a stud. And she believes that they were eyeing her when she was in the store, thinking she was a man. And then when she walked into the ladies' room, they thought it was a man walking into the ladies' room. They called the police, and the police came out. And she said, oh, here it is. She said that when she exited the bathroom stall, she lifted up her shirt and showed the deputies that she was really a woman, showing her her, you know. And one of the deputies insisted, you still look like a man. Okay, see, this is the problem. This is the problem that I've been talking about. Ian has joined in on this conversation. This is a conversation we've been having on this show for a long time. There are men and women you can't tell. And you want these people that you can't tell? You want somebody that looks just like a man to go in the ladies' room? You know, that's maybe very intimidating for young girls. It's intimidating for women. And here in Tucson, and there's going to be more of this that's going to be reported, women who look just like men using the ladies' room because they still have female body parts. And so they really belong in the men's room, and they're not going after any men. And there are men also, there are men who look so much like women, you would never know unless you reached down there and grabbed. So you want to send those men that look just like women, you want to send them into the men's room? I mean, there are going to be some men who are going to try and hit on these women, or these men, and they're going to be quite surprised. So anyway, this is a story that just is showing the manifestation of this problem, and I get that it's complicated, but don't be so quick to judge the trans issue if you don't really know what some of these people look like. All right, you know, Rick Springfield, I have seen Rick many times. I have talked to Rick in many situations. I've had dinner with Rick and his manager once here in New Orleans. I'm very familiar with Rick Springfield. I put in a call, talked to his manager earlier today, and Rick was too busy to talk today or this week. They're jammed up. He's got a new album coming out. But there's some new news coming out about Rick discovering that he has suffered from brain damage for 25 years after a concert fall. He fell off a stage 25 years ago. Rick is 75 years old, and the guy looks incredible. I mean, he's totally ripped. I mean, I wish I had that body. He is amazing. He had a full body MRI, and it showed the lasting effects of a fall that he suffered in 2000. He said, I fell 25 feet, I hit my head, and then wood came down and hit my head, and then I hit my head again on the stage. And this was in an interview with People magazine. He said, I thought I had just broken my wrist, but the scan found out that I have some brain damage from the fall, so I'm working to repair that now. He said, a lot of people don't want to know what's wrong with them, and that's a problem. And I remember, I don't want to mention his name, but he admitted on the air that he was gay after denying it. You know, this is an interesting situation. This guy was on B97 when I was on B97. And he and Steve Johnson, they made fun of me, making fun of me because I'm gay. Well, I'm not gay. I'm straight. But they made fun of me like I was gay. And his partner went along with this, you know, bashing me because, you know, making just fun of me because they thought I was gay. It turned, and they knew I wasn't. But then it turns out that this guy, his partner, and it wasn't John Walton, they had broken up at the time. So this guy who was partner with him actually turned out to be gay and admitted it on the air. But after all the bashing of me, man, he he lost the total respect of the audience after bashing me, making fun of me for being gay when I'm not, and then he comes out of the closet and wants sympathy, wants understanding because he's actually gay and coming out of the closet. Man, the audience just basically jeered and rejected him. But I remember him saying once, and this was like just in the halls, a conversation had come up about AIDS, and this would have been in the, this would have been in, I guess, the mid-90s. And early to mid-90s. And he said, I don't want to go get tested because I don't want to know if I have HIV. I don't want to know if I'm HIV positive. And I'm thinking, how dangerous is that for somebody like that to not want to know? Because they're out there spreading it. And he didn't want to know if he had it. So I agree with Rick Springfield. It's important to know if you've got something wrong with you. Rick's dad died. He had stomach cancer for years and never got checked, didn't want to know anything about it. And then one day, it just his ulcer burst and he died from loss of blood. And it could have been fixed if it had gotten checked earlier. So Rick goes on to say in this interview with People Magazine, that was a great message to me. If you want to live long, you have to be prepared for some bad news now and then. I could find out I have terminal cancer tomorrow and be dead in a year, but I can only do what I can do. And he's also, you know, been focused on being healthy. He's cut down on alcohol consumption. He said, I was drinking quite a bit. And then when I got older, it's kind of a natural thing to drop all that stuff, but he didn't say stuff. He said, I'm not in AA. I mean, I know it works for a lot of people, but I have a couple of sips of vodka or something when I'm on stage, but that's the only time that I drink. Well, if you drink like that, you're not an alcoholic. You're an alcoholic if you have one drink and you can't stop. But Rick Springfield goes on to say that he's dealt with depression. We've talked about that, and Rick has shared that with me as well, that he's dealt with depression all of his life and attempted suicide when he was very young. He wanted to see what would happen if he tried some drugs, and he even tried LSD treatment. He said it was a creative experiment, and the experiment on depression was also interesting. He said he was writing a lot, and he said, you know, it wasn't a black or white thing, but he was writing a lot when he was under this LSD treatment. He said, look, I'm not pushing drugs on anybody. He said, I did acid, and I actually think it was a little better, but he said, I did a lot when I was in my 20s, but I hadn't done it in a while. And he said, it's not for everybody, but it was okay, and it helped me. But Rick is also talking about how he is taking care of himself. So I want to have that conversation, especially if you're a baby boomer. What are you doing that you think help keeps you healthy? And if you're a millennial or a zoomer or an Xer, there are things you can be doing right now to better take care of yourself that's going to help you lead a long life. I mean, don't you want to be kicking it when you're 80 years old like Mick Jagger? You know, the baby boomer generation grew up with this idea that youth was everything. And we didn't want to get old. We couldn't even imagine getting old. And at one point, Mick Jagger said, I don't want to live past 30. And that was the mentality back then. You didn't want to get old. And you didn't care if you died. You just didn't want to get old. Well, now, Mick Jagger, of all people, is proving that it's okay to be older. And I think I'm a great example of, you know, hey, you know, you can feel great and be happy much later in life and just be kicking ass. I mean, my life is great, and I did things that I shouldn't have done in the past, but fortunately nothing, you know, took me down. But anyway, we're gonna talk about this on the show when we come back. And also, Luke Combs is talking about struggling with an obscure mental disorder that is all-consuming. So I want you to think about something that you do. Maybe it's one or two little things that you do that you think helps keep you healthy. And this could be good information for people listening. If you want to join us, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Also on the Scoot on the Air rock culture calendar, as soon as I find it here, it's somewhere in all of these papers, I promise. Yeah, I loved this song when I was growing up. Happy birthday today to Vanilla Fudge lead singer Mark Stein. 78 years old today. Vanilla Fudge was huge when I was sort of coming of age. And one of their big, big hits was this cover of the Supremes hit, You Keep Me Hanging On. Listen to the job that they did with You Keep Me Hanging On. I remember listening to this on my little transistor radio. All right, I'm Scoot. We got to get to a break. We're coming back with a lot more on WWL. You know, I don't know if I'm going to do it again, but I don't know. A few months back, I posted a picture of Rick Springfield without his shirt on. He did Jesse's Girl without his shirt on, the encore. The guy took his shirt off, and I was blown away. I was blown away that a guy at his age looks that good. I mean, I didn't know you could look that good at that age. I don't know if I have the dedication to dealing with pain to look that good. And I don't know if my body's made for it. You know, some people are just made to be, you know, built. I don't think my body's made for that. But I mean, I do like to exercise and take care of myself. But the point is, Rick Springfield is taking care of himself, and he looks really great. And he's just totally ripped. And now he's trying to be more health conscious. Are you doing anything in your life, especially if you're a boomer, are you doing anything in your life that you think makes you healthier? The Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. What are just some great basic health tips? If you're a millennial, if you're a zoomer, if you're an Xer, you know, you might even be more into being health conscious than boomers. What's something that you're doing that you think helps make you feel really great? I mean, I think it's good to share health tips or just to make us aware of, you know, what we put in our bodies and taking care of ourselves, and it just helps you look great. You know, one thing that I tried to do over the last 2 months, I guess, and I came to a tipping point last night. I decided I was going to take a break from doing it. But for the last 2 months, I have been having a smoothie, a 32-ounce smoothie for dinner every night. Every night. It's been about 2 months now. And I don't think I'm getting anywhere. And I know a lot of smoothies have a lot of sugar, but I'm doing the Slim and Trim, which has no added sugar. I'm doing Slim and Trim with added protein and added immune support. And that's it. And I make it with water instead of the non-fat milk because, you know, even non-fat milk's got some calories and fat grams. I don't know, maybe some fat grams in it. I know that even non-fat milk has stuff in it. So I'm even having it done with water instead of the non-fat milk. And it's still delicious. I mean, I love it. But I think I'm going to cut back on that because I'm not seeing the results that I personally want to see. I have also started drinking coconut water. I mean, a lot of coconut water. I mean, I drink probably two bottles a day. And, you know, I like to get the refrigerated kind from, I don't want to tell you where I get it, honestly, because sometimes they run low and I don't want to tell you where I get it because I don't want people running there to get it. But, you know, talk to me about something that you do that you think is really good. I'm feeling really good drinking coconut water daily. And even if it's not the exact kind that I get, drink coconut water. It's really good for you. Also, when it comes to skin and hair and nails, I do a lot of collagen. I take a collagen supplement. I take vitamins. I take a multiple vitamin. I take zinc and magnesium and vitamin D. And I take fish oil with CoQ10 and then a multiple vitamin, and I add collagen to that. So collagen will really help your hair, it will help your skin, and if, you know, if you're a woman in particular, it will help your nails. What's a health tip that you think makes you feel better and look better? The Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Nashville. Bob, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Yeah, I love your topic. I'm going to take another twist on it. You know, your health is divided into two parts, physical and mental. Mm-hmm. And mental is critical. And what I do, which also helps my physical, is I've taken the stress out of my life.
How have you done that?
I've done that through reading the Bible, going to Mass and listening to Father John Raphael, who's our associate pastor and used to be the president of St. Augustine post-Katrina in New Orleans.
Wow.
And I go to a small Bible group on Monday mornings with a bunch of other boomers. And one thing you learn with Scripture and listening to Father John and discussing is that if you just realize you're not in control, God is, turn it over to Him. It takes a lot of stress off your plate thinking you're going to control everything.
You know, and Bob, people who are not Christians or people who are not like you, there are similar things that they can do that will have another kind of result. So you bringing this up is important. You're basically realizing that, you know, you don't have to be in control of everything. And that is a real stress reliever, because that's when I'm dealing with stress in my life right now, and it's bothering me a lot, and I'm trying to get rid of it. And I used to get rid of it drinking, but I don't do that anymore. I mean, I have a glass of wine now and then, but I mean, it's been a long time. I mean, I haven't had a glass of wine in, I don't know, a month and a half or so. But if I want to, I can do that. But, you know, I don't want to turn to alcohol to help me relax, although that's a way that I used to relax. So you telling me this is inspiring me to go find something. And, you know, look, I have great verses from the Bible embedded in my brain that I remember occasionally when I'm in a stressful situation. So I think that's a good recommendation.
Yeah, you, like you said, there's other things other than religious. They're spiritual, and there, you know, there's also like meditation. You can do yoga.
Yeah.
You know, but you've just got to, you know, stress. You know, stress is what. Yeah. You know, here I am. I'm 68 years old. I'm on one medicine. I just had my annual checkup, and the doctor is always amazed. And you know, so I'm kind of a phenomenon. But I'll tell you, it's been working for me.
That's great. Bob, I really appreciate the call, and thanks for listening to the show in Nashville. All right, let's, Ian, do we have a couple of text messages that we can get to?
Yeah, sure. Here's a text that says, instead of a smoothie, try Huel Black Edition. Google, have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, Huel, I don't know. It's one of these kind of like meal replacement drinks. H-U-E-L. I don't know much about it. I just have seen the brand out there.
Okay.
Here's a text that says, what keeps me healthy is business. Minding mine and staying out of other people's.
Yeah. You know, gossip can lead to a lot of stress, and getting involved in other people's lives can lead to a lot of stress. And I can't help but think that a lot of people on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page are dealing with a hell of a lot of stress based on some of the responses that I see.
Here's a text that says, I've been on the carnivore diet, I think, for almost a month, July 13th, down 13 pounds.
Wow. The carnivore diet. Carnivore diet. I wonder what that is. I'll have to look that up. Do you know anything about that?
I think that's where you just eat meat.
Oh, see, well, I eat poultry and fish, seafood. I don't eat red meat. I don't eat fried food.
I think that probably still counts for the carnivore diet then.
Okay. I'll look into that.
Yeah. I'll leave you with this one. This person says, I moved to light beer.
To light beer.
There you go.
As opposed to, you know what?
Regular beer.
Oh, okay.
It tastes great, less filling.
Yeah, fewer, I think that would be a really good slogan. Somebody should use that as a slogan to sell their beer.
It's mailer time.
All right, if you want to join us, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. You know, you might have like this little health tip that's something that you do that you might want to pass on to somebody else, and you might help them think about something that will help keep them healthier. And also it's a chance for us to kind of, you know, brag on some of the stuff that we do that we think keeps us healthier. But I tell you, at this point in my life, you know, again, I'm dealing with some stress in my life right now. I admit that. I don't like it. I got to try to get rid of that. But I feel great, and I love my life, and you know, again, even at my age, at this point in my life, life can be great, but you got to take care of yourself. And when I heard about Rick Springfield taking care of himself, I thought about that. So, Ian, I know I've got a couple of songs up here. Let's go to the break with Jelly Roll. And Jelly Roll Jelly Roll is that big country singer. I mean, he's big in more ways than one. He's a big guy. I love this guy. I love what he sings about. And he sings a lot about mental health. He was in prison. And he sings a lot about mental health and about needing help. And here's one of his songs, I'm Not Okay. And the mental health issue is another really important aspect of your physical health as well. So we'll get to more of your calls and more of your texts coming up. And the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. Here's another song from Jelly Roll. It's called Liar. It's about mental health. I love this guy. I'm Scoot on the air, and we're talking about just general health and physical health and mental health, and I'm sharing some of the things that I do, and I want to hear about some of the things that you do that you think helps keep you healthy. Let's go to Morgan City. Wells, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. Listen, I was telling Ian, I'm listening to you talk about what happened over in Phoenix and all that stuff. Now, I got a woman that looks like a man, but she goes into the women's bathroom that's got stalls in it, private. Let's just say she went into the men's room. Well, because she's got the female equipment, she's going to go into the stall anyway.
Right.
Let's go the other way around. If there's a woman dressed, whatever. All right. Well, then you got people that are going and peering underneath the stalls. Who's the pervert here?
Well, who's peering under the stalls?
You said the cops went.
Oh yeah, they shined a light on her feet, and interestingly, in the case,
the stalls,
yeah. Well, no, you're right. In the case I was talking about, the only men in the ladies' room were the two cops, and the woman actually lifted up her shirt and showed that she was a woman. Yeah, I know it's a little nuts, right, Wells?
Yes, sir. I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, you know, if you go into the somebody's molesting somebody, yeah, boy, beat the tar out of them. Okay, go for it.
Yeah.
But if you're just minding their own business and they go into a stall, close the door for privacy. You know, I was at a Saints football game one time, and you know the big round hand washing thing they had.
Yeah.
Well, the men's room at halftime is just chock-a-block full, and the men were using that as a urinal.
No, that's disgusting. I've seen
that. And the next thing I knew, there was a woman standing up next to me and using it and had better aim than I did.
You know, isn't that amazing? You know, you think women can't aim? They can aim. They can aim. I don't know how they do it, but they can do it.
So,
all right, Wells, I appreciate the call, man.
Can I touch base about the mayor?
Yeah, sure.
All right, listen. Okay, so, I mean, she's going to disregard the laws. Well, as far as I'm concerned, we have somebody acting as a president up there that has disregarded all kind of damn laws. And so it just stems right down from the top. And so, you know, if they're going to flaunt just breaking the law, and everybody lets them, well, so be it.
Well, I don't think everybody, Wells, I appreciate the call. I don't think everybody loves Mayor Cantrell. In fact, I think Mayor Cantrell has taught the citizens of New Orleans a lot. All right, we've got a lot of texts to get to. I mean, a lot of texts, and we're going to get to those coming up in the next hour. It's Tuesday, so we've got an interesting Tuesday text-off coming up. You know, the text-off today deals with the 80s. And the 80s were just a really iconic time for music. Great music in the 80s. It was upbeat. It was fun to dance to, fun to sing. It was a fun, up-tempo time. America was booming as far as the economy is concerned for most people. And baby boomers were kind of coming of age and starting families. And some were getting divorced and they were back out on the street. It was a big party time. Happy hours were everywhere. The 80s was really a fun time and the music reflected it. So the text off today is in regard to the 80s. I'm Scoot, and that's going to be coming up next. Here's another song from Rick Springfield. And though he, you know, did a lot of, you know, great hits that were about, you know, love and, you know, Wish I Had Jesse's Girl and, you know, Don't Talk to Strangers and all that. Rick Springfield is really, really deep. And his dealing with depression has always been part of his life. And here's a song titled, I Hate Myself, Rick Springfield. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back. And we'll be talking to him sometime in the coming weeks. We'll be back on WWL. All right, there's some breaking news here. Donald Trump is talking about Ukraine having a proposal to end the war. Elon Musk and his son right there with Donald Trump. I realize why he likes Elon Musk around. I'll explain that after the news coming up. All right, time for the Tuesday text-off. I've been talking about 80s music, so here we have a text-off between two songs, Song A and Song B. Which one of these two songs do you think most personifies the music of the 80s? Which one personifies most the music of the 80s? Here is Song A. All right, that is Song A, and here is Song B. And what you need to do is text A or B to the Open Heart text line, which is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Which song most personifies the music of the 80s? Here's Song B. All right, which one of these songs do you think most personifies the 80s? Song A or Song B? Both great songs from the 80s. Which one most personifies the music of the 80s? Text A or B to the Open Heart text line, 504-260-1870. We'll have the results coming up right after the news at 3 o'clock. I'm Scoot, and this is WWL. Happy birthday today to Cheryl Lynn. This was a big hit for her back in the, late 70s, I guess. Yeah, Cheryl Lynn, 68 years old today. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you were with us. It's really just a spectacular Tuesday afternoon. We just had the Tuesday text off. We'll get the results here in just a moment. So Donald Trump was just offering some information about the skyrocketing day once again. Actually, it's a roller coaster day. It's not skyrocketing. It's actually skyrocketing in the other direction. The stock market is down again. Last I looked, it was down 478 points. Not much compared to yesterday, but still down again. It's interesting that Sunday, and it continued yesterday, President Trump said he does not rule out a recession. Well, that was not good for him to say, but he said it anyway. And he must have been consulted and told, you shouldn't have said that. Today, Donald Trump is saying he doesn't see a recession coming. I don't know what new information he has, but he doesn't see a recession coming. Let's see if his words change anything. And I also figured out why Donald Trump likes to have Elon Musk around. Because here's Donald Trump with breaking news about Ukraine having a proposal to end the war, and then some comments about the roller coaster stock market and about the tariffs. And it's Donald Trump, and right next to him is Elon Musk and one of Elon Musk's countless children. He's got a bunch of kids with a bunch of different women. And I mean, I guess if you can, if you can afford that and, handle that, well, that's cool. I hope he's helping out those women with their kids. But anyway, he's implanted his seed in a lot of women. And some of them, a lot of them got pregnant. I think he's had at least 13 kids, a bunch of them with different women. Anyway, he's got this younger, maybe 4-year-old boy. In fact, Donald Trump is a germaphobe, so I can relate to that because I'm a germaphobe. But Donald Trump has had the desk in the Oval Office removed and refurbished because at one time the 4-year-old kid, Elon Musk's son, the 4-year-old picked his nose and put a booger under the desk. So Donald Trump sent it out. Hey, I don't blame him. I don't blame him. Kid puts a booger on the desk. Desk is going out. Okay, I get that. All right, so let's get the results of the Tuesday text off. So the text off today was between two big 80s hits. Which one of these two songs most personifies the music of the 80s? Was it Song A, Don't You Want Me by Human League? Or was it Song B, Rio by Duran Duran? Both of the songs were released in 1982. And when I think back on the 80s, these are two songs that really do personify the 80s. Which one most personifies the 80s? It was Song A. According to our audience, Song A, Don't You Want Me, Baby, Human League. And I remember very specifically dancing with my wife at the time. We were at 4141 on St. Charles, and this song was playing. And you know, I remember saying to her while we were dancing, I said, do you realize that people are dancing to music again? Because there was a time between disco and the music of the 80s, and there wasn't a whole lot of dancing going on. And America wasn't dancing as much as it had been back in the disco era and then before this 80s music hit. But it occurred to me while dancing to this song at 4141 that people were dancing again. And that's when I got the idea to do the TV show Airwaves, which was a really great show. In fact, one of the dancers from Airwaves actually went into Logo Express while I was there doing the sale for the Mardi Gras apparel. She came in and said hi to her. It was great to see her again. And once in a while, I run into one of the Airwaves dancers. And for, you know, millennials and Zoomers, Xers, you're not going to know about that. But, yeah, I had this 80s dance show that actually was really quite cool. I had this concept for an 80s dance show, and this was after American Bandstand had really run its course, and I had an idea for an updated dance show. I think it lasted, I don't know, maybe 16, 26, I think it might have been 26 weeks. Anyway, it lasted for a while, but then it was, you know, it was over. And I really had a lot of confidence in this concept, and I knew that I was doing something right. But I was in New Orleans, and people in New Orleans didn't see the wisdom. Not the people in the TV industry did not see the wisdom in what I was doing, and nobody wanted to really pick it up and continue with it. About 6 months after I did Airwaves, MTV broke on the air with the dance show hosted by Downtown Julie Brown. It was the exact same concept. Exact. And I was so bummed because I had the idea. This was where a new dance show needed to go. And I had the idea, and nobody in New Orleans saw the wisdom in it, and it didn't go anywhere, but I knew I had the right idea. And it's not that MTV stole it from me. I don't believe they stole it from me. But MTV saw the same thing that I saw. There was this opening. There was this need for this new type of dance show. And I did it, and I was on the right track, but it didn't work out. So you see, I've had disappointments in my life as well. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. We've been talking about a number of things this afternoon. The city council needs to punish Mayor Cantrell. If she did spend any taxpayer dollars, and maybe there's a question about this, but she's traveling when the city council passed an ordinance for city employees not to travel while the city's broke. The mayor can't pay the Orleans Parish School Board, so the city council passed an ordinance, no travel, including travel to conferences. Mayor Cantrell traveled to a conference in D.C., where she's probably looking for a job, because she's over. She's over October the 11th. And I know I'm not the only one in New Orleans or in the greater New Orleans area that is excited about the end of LaToya Cantrell. And man, you know what we're going to do that day? You know we're going to play that Hall & Oates song, She's Gone. It's going to be an incredible celebration because she has been toxic. She has been poison to our city in so many ways. And she's been totally arrogant and disregarded the New Orleans taxpayers. But the city council cannot pass these rules and not hold her accountable. And some of the people on the city council, one's already announced, but there are people from the city council who are going to want to run for mayor. And they need to be held accountable for holding the mayor accountable. And if they don't hold the mayor accountable, then they're going to be part of the problem, and that's going to be an issue with their campaign. So the city council members who want to be mayor, they need to vote to do something about the mayor. Don't just pass a law. It doesn't do any good to pass a law. I mean, any law, not just involving the mayor. But it doesn't do any good to pass a law and not hold somebody accountable to that law. And if Cantrell spent any taxpayer dollars, she needs to be held accountable. So we'll see what happens. Also, Bill Maher, in an interview with Kid Rock on his podcast, Club Random, Bill Maher said he doesn't think he will ever see another Democrat president again. And at this point, I agree with Bill Maher. I see a lot of prominent Republicans. I don't see prominent young Democrats. Okay, you can point to a young Democrat, AOC, too liberal. She'll never be elected president. Where are the moderate Democrats, the young moderate Democrats who could steal votes from the Republicans? Where are they? They got to be out there. But where are they? And the Democrats need to figure out who those people are and start bringing them into the spotlight. And if they don't, then Bill Maher's right. When are we going to ever see another Democrat president? Because the Democrats are in such disarray. Oh my God, do you realize what I just did? I just did something that so many people think I never do. And I do it all the time. I said something negative about the Democrats. Oh my God. You mean to tell me all those people were wrong? Yes, all of those people are wrong. But anyway, I don't know where those young Democrats are, but there have to be moderate Democrats out there who can win the Republican vote. And we'll have to see what happens as time goes on. I mean, maybe there's some names out there that I'm not hearing. I mean, I pay attention to the news. Ian, can you think of any moderate Democrats out there who deserve to be in the spotlight right now?
You could go with Andy Beshear, Josh Shapiro,
yeah, okay.
Wes Moore,
yeah.
Gavin Newsom.
Is Gavin
J.B. Pritzker is not Gavin, young, but he's an effective governor. What about
Gavin? Gavin Newsom, is he too liberal? I'm thinking he's a little on the liberal side.
I mean,
he could present
so.
Himself as more of a moderate, but I think right now he's perceived as way too liberal.
I mean, he governs a pretty liberal state. I don't know how much of that is his own personal ideology or if that's him just trying to run California. But I wouldn't say, I don't think anybody can credibly say that Gavin Newsom is some like left wing, you know, seize the means of production, defund the police, wacko liberal.
Yeah.
And in fact, he was in the news a lot last week because he went on with Charlie Kirk and said that he opposes transgender athletes playing in women's sports.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he's kind of the first prominent Democrat to do that. And
well,
I think that that's an issue that Democrats have been losing on badly for a couple of years now. So if he's able to find a middle ground with that, that could be really helpful.
Yeah. And so maybe Gavin Newsom is coming up as an attractive Democrat candidate. So, you know, we'll see. But they have to be out there. There's still time for the Democrats to recover because, look, for those of you with short memories, I'll remind you, the Republicans were in the hellhole with their party. You know, before Trump was anointed the leader of the party, that the Republicans were in total disarray. I mean, they couldn't agree with anything or they couldn't agree on anybody. And before Trump was anointed the leader of the Republican Party, they didn't know what they were doing. So Republicans were in disarray, and they got their you know what together. And so let's see if the Democrats get their thing together. But I think Andy Beshear is one of those names that deserves to be talked about. So
you can probably also look at Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan.
Yes,
which is a pretty swingy state, and they really like her. You know, she won her reelection pretty comfortably and is polling well. And, you know, I don't know if America's ready for the first gay president, but Pete Buttigieg is a damn effective communicator. I mean, you see him going to the Lion's Den on Fox News all the time and just lays waste to these, you know, stupid talking points that are just kind of tossed around as if they're truisms all the time. And he has a really effective way of talking to people about kitchen table issues in a way that kind of decouples it from the sort of emotional tension that's at the core of all our political conversations nowadays. He's good.
You know, and the fact that you mentioned, I don't know if America's ready for a gay president, that just brings credence to our conversations about gays and about gay rights in America, because it's still a problem. And gays are not throwing their lives in our faces. They just want to be treated equally. They want to be judged equally. And I agree with Ian that I don't know if America's ready for a gay president, but it shouldn't matter if he's gay. If he could be the best leader of this country, it shouldn't matter if he's gay. But it will matter, which is a shame. I don't know. Maybe things can change between now and 2028. but Pete Buttigieg would be, you know, another young name that should be mentioned. But again, the fact that he's gay is a negative, and it shouldn't be a negative. So that's what the gay community wants. That's what the LGBTQ community wants. I mean, there are wacko activists in the LGBTQ community, as there are in every group. But basically, you know, gays just want, they just want to be treated fairly. They don't want to be judged because they're gay. Because what Pete Buttigieg does when he's out of the Oval Office is none of our business. When he's upstairs in the residential section of the White House, that's none of our business. But yet, it is going to be a factor for some people. All right, if you've got a comment, we've also been talking about health. And Rick Springfield discovered that he has had some brain damage from a fall about 25 years ago during a concert. And he noticed this during a full-body MRI scan, and he wanted to know if there's anything wrong with him. And he just recently discovered this. And he's dedicated to being healthy, has been in recent years, and he looks great. And his healthy lifestyle certainly has added to who he is today. And you can, you know, he's 75 years old, and you can look great and you can kick ass now and later in life if you take care of yourself. And in addition to the healthy things that you put into your body and try to get rid of stress and all of that, also exercise is a key part of that. And it doesn't have to be aggressive exercise. It can just be exercise. For example, when you go to the grocery store or the shopping center, don't park in the closest spot you can park at. Park out in the lot somewhere. And I like to park out in the lot because I don't want somebody to ding my car. So if I can park out in an open space and nobody's around there, that's where I'm going to park. And speaking of that, can anybody explain why? If I'm parked in a parking lot and I'm out in the parking lot, there's no cars around me, all these empty spaces, why is it that somebody feels like they have to park right next to my car? Can anybody explain that mentality? There's got to be an explanation for it. There's 25 places, 30 places open all around me, and somebody feels the need to park right next to my car. It happens all the time. What is that about? All right, you got a comment about anything we're talking about? The Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce have been spotted for the first time since the Kansas City Chiefs lost in the Super Bowl here in New Orleans. They were spotted having dinner in Park City, Utah. And man, this is a beautiful time to be in Park City. I've skied and snowboarded in Park City, and it's a great place. And Park City itself is just the quaintest little town. So yeah, if you had money and you could be somewhere, Park City, Utah would be the place to be. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. Rob Lowe is talking about how movies don't have sex scenes anymore. That back in the 80s, there was a sex scene in every movie. He said every time he'd get a script, he'd turn to page 73, and there was a sex scene. Even if it was about priests or nuns, turn to page 73, there's a sex scene. We don't have a chance to get into this afternoon. We will talk about this on the show tomorrow afternoon. We've just kind of gotten backed up here, and I want to give that topic some time to discuss. There are not really many sex scenes in movies anymore. Is that true? And what was the steamiest sex scene in a movie? Hang on, we'll talk about that tomorrow afternoon. I'm Scoot on the air. It is a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Let's go to Barry in Metairie. Barry, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Can you hear me, Scoot?
Yes, I can.
I just want to make editorial. I just want to see how all those Trump voters 401ks are doing right now. How's the construction industry going to be doing when it can't get Canadian lumber? I don't know about you, but Trump and Musk can weather a recession. Can most Americans weather a four-year recession? How about 7 out of 10 of the federal workers laid off voted for Trump? Now they can't pay the mortgage. All the immigrants are picking the letters. You know what? He's only been in, 6 weeks? The economy is tanking. You think the depression in the 30s was bad, just watch. And you know what? Worse than all, this trader, his so-called peace deal, let's see, Russia invaded him. He hasn't done nothing. He's taken away arms from Ukraine, taken away intelligence. He's chastised them. He's in Putin's pocket. this guy is if he stays in office any longer, we're going to be totally out of it. If these people had voted for, oh, and now some of them are. They go into all of these senators now who are running, including Stevie Sleazy Scalise, you know, that didn't have the you-know-what to stand up to him. Well, go see Liz Cheney. She's got more of you-know-what than all of those Republican senators. So thank y'all for destroying the rest of us, you voters for Trump.
All right, Barry, I'm glad you had a chance to express your opinion. I understand why people voted for Donald Trump, and it's not over. It's not over, and I don't want to look foolish if things totally turn around and, you know, the stock market is going to change. But you're right. Donald Trump and Elon Musk have the means, and so do a lot of people, have the means to go through this transition. But not everybody does. And some people, many people who voted for Trump are going to be hurt by this transition and are hurt right now. And I think I got sidetracked. But Donald Trump was appearing today with Elon and his kids. And again, Elon was right next to Trump. Do you know why Trump likes Elon there? Because Donald Trump is a big, pudgy guy. Elon Musk is huge. Elon Musk makes Donald Trump look almost svelte. So I think he likes Elon Musk around for the visual that Donald Trump doesn't look so big and pudgy because Elon Musk is there. But yeah, Elon Musk was there wearing his baseball cap, suit, black t-shirt, and his 4-year-old son was there. Really unlike Donald Trump to share the spotlight with anybody, but I guess that's how much he feels indebted to Elon Musk. Let's go to Araby. John, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. Two things about your stress. The one thing I have done since the election is I do not listen to any political news anymore. I had your show on my radio when I got in the car, unfortunately, so I had to listen to it a little bit up about Trump and all that. Secondly, if you'll remember, back in the 2020 election, Pete Buttigieg ran for president. And yeah. I think he either won the Iowa caucus or finished very high, but he had a great showing. And they interviewed a woman coming out of the, polling, voting booth, voting area, whatever. And the interviewer asked her who she voted for, and she said, Pete Buttigieg. And she asked him why, and she had all of the great compliments about him. And then when the reporter asked her, do you know he's gay, she said, oh, no, I would have never voted for that.
Oh, my God.
You're right.
Really?
You're right. No, there will never be a
gay
president. I'm telling you, you could probably find that interview, but I remember listening to it. And that alone told me, you know, there will never be a gay president.
John, I trust you that happened.
People cannot get past the prejudice, no matter how good you are. Yeah. I mean, come on, Kamala Harris, as successful and as accomplished as that woman was, and they didn't give her the time of day, and she lost to a felon. That's hard to believe, too. So. Anyway,
John, I appreciate the call. I think it is sad that people still judge homosexuals in a negative way. I mean, why? Why? I mean, if you're right wing, you respect personal privacy. You respect power to the individual. You respect individual rights. So why are you peering into windows? Why do you care what somebody does in their bedroom? And there are a lot of heterosexuals who do things you would never do. You don't judge them. I just think it's really sad. And so for those who think we bring up this too often, I don't bring it up because it's a gay issue. I bring it up because it's an issue. It's an issue about rights in America. And the judgment that America collectively still has for gays and lesbians is pathetic. And it is contrary to the spirit of this country. And that's why we talk about it. Let's go to John in Marrero. Hey, John, welcome to the show. Hello, John. All right, let's go to Jimmy in Gretna. Hey, Jimmy, what do you have for us?
Hey, Scoot. Hey, I've been meaning to ask you your opinion on this, you know, a couple weeks ago. I know this is more sports related for the later show on WWL. But they were kicking around the idea of an NHL team coming to New Orleans. Now, I know you remember the New Orleans Brass. It was minor leagues. But I wanted to get your take on that. I mean, we're having a hard time. Of course, the Pelicans are struggling. If there was a hockey team, they'd probably play at Smoothie King Center. Like the Pelicans play tonight. And you got $1 tickets right now on the secondary market, StubHub, SeatGeek. So that tells you 70% empty game. Tying that in, we can't even really support an NBA team right now if you got $1 tickets for the game tonight, Scoot. So how would we possibly – what's your take? You think we could possibly support an NHL team considering how this whole Pelican situation is going?
You know, Jimmy, I think it's a great question. I would love to see it happen. I think – and I wasn't here. I was in other cities around the country when the New Orleans Brass were here, so I can't speak firsthand about the New Orleans Brass. I know they existed, but I was gone during that time. I think an NHL team would be successful here. There are issues with the Pelicans. I think there might be some inherent issues with the Saints – and the Pelicans sharing management. I think there might be some issues there. And again, the Pelicans, as long as the Saints are sharing management with the Pelicans will always be a subconscious stepchild to the Saints. That's just the way it is. And I don't like that. I would like to think that we're an NBA city. Could we be an NHL city and not an NBA city? Yeah, I mean, I think so. I'm sure there are, Tampa Bay doesn't have an NBA team, but they've got a successful NHL team, right? So yeah, I mean, I think an NHL team, not a minor hockey league team, but an NHL team, I think they would be successful in New Orleans. I'd love to see it. All right. So on this day on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1974, Chicago released the album Chicago 7. On that album was the song "Wishing You Were Here." I always remember talking about this album on the air and this particular song as a song where the Beach Boys did background vocals. In one of my conversations with Robert Lamb of Chicago, I asked him to share with me a story from the Caribou Ranch in Colorado, where Elton John recorded, a lot of rockers recorded there. Chicago recorded at the Caribou Ranch in Colorado. It was a place where they stayed, they recorded, they were out in the middle of nowhere. And I asked Robert Lamb to tell me a story about recording at the Caribou Ranch, and here's what he said.
Caribou Ranch to record Chicago 7, maybe, or Chicago 8. And we were in the middle of it, touring intermittently while we were recording. So we were passing through Stapleton. It was the main airport in Denver then. And we ran into our pals, the Beach Boys. And we had already been touring with the Beach Boys the previous year. And that was really a great thing. So we invited them to come up to the ranch. And one thing led to another. And we ended up having some of the Beach Boys singing backup on Wishing You Were Here. And that never would have happened anywhere else.
And so here is that part of the song where the Beach Boys are doing background vocals in the song Wishing You Were Here. Many of you may remember the song, but might not have realized this was the Beach Boys doing background vocals. And Robert was telling me about how just incredible it was to hear the vocals of Brian Wilson in his headphones while he was recording that album at Caribou Ranch. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. Hey, you know, I just made a comment about this video that I just saw. Actually, it was live breaking news on the monitor. I'm doing the show from my studio in my apartment at West End today. And my God, just a beautiful day. I'm looking out. I've got a glimpse of Lake Pontchartrain, and it's just a beautiful day. As I mentioned earlier in the show, I noticed that traffic yesterday in the Pontchartrain Expressway was a lot lighter than I expected in the evening, the late afternoon and evening. And I wonder if people were trying to get home because it was the first day when it was going to be lighter later because of the switch to daylight savings time. Because traffic was relatively light yesterday at a time when it's usually really, really thick. So I don't know. Just, man, I hope you have time to, I hope you get off in time to enjoy some of the daylight at the end of the day. And this is going to continue until late October. So let's enjoy it. I'm glad you're with us this afternoon. So I was commenting on Elon Musk standing next to Donald Trump. And yeah, Elon Musk was there again, right next to Trump. And Elon's got his little boy with him again. I'm so surprised that Donald Trump is allowing Elon Musk to be in the spotlight this much, because Donald Trump is so driven by his ego that I didn't think that he would want to give up the spotlight this much. And I commented on how big Elon Musk looks next to Donald Trump. I just looked up their heights and weights. Now, you know, these people can lie. You know, politicians lie and billionaires lie. Elon Musk is listed at 6'2", 187. Donald Trump is listed at 6'3", 215. You take a look at those two guys next to each other, and it does not look like Donald Trump is bigger than Elon Musk. Elon Musk looks considerably bigger than Donald Trump. So I don't believe these listings that they have. Also, there was a survey that had come out indicating that Americans are spending more time at home. I mean, I am, but I don't know whether I'm just kind of overdoing some things and I'm done with it, or if Americans are spending more time at home. You know, with technology today, with our phones, there's more to keep us at home. And you don't have to go out to communicate with anybody. You can stay home and communicate with a lot of other people. So, you know, maybe that'll be a good topic to talk about sometime in the future. Let's check in with Ian and see if there are any text messages we can get to before the end of the show.
And if they're not,
it's okay. I know I caught you by surprise. It's okay. If there aren't any worth sharing, that's okay.
Let's see here, right to the top. we're good.
Okay. We'll get them tomorrow. Then. Yeah. You know, a lot of them are worthless anyway. But, you know, but some of them are really good. And we do really respect and appreciate the good text messages, as I appreciate the good post and comments on what I post on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. I hope you'll join me there. I mean, I haven't done it yet, but this week I'm going to reintroduce myself on Scoot on the Air Instagram. I'm wondering if there's going to be a more cerebral audience on Instagram and less hate on Instagram than there is on Facebook. I hope that's the case. And also, I'm going to introduce myself on the new platform, Substack. And there was even a casual comment made about that on Saturday Night Live this past weekend. It's new to a lot of people. It's been around for a little while, but it's still relatively new, Substack. So, join Scoot on the Air later this week on Substack. I'll let you know when that is official. All right, we're going to come back to wrap up the show. Sports Talk is coming up. You know, we're getting close to the draft, and we're going to be close to, you know, I mean, a couple of months, and you know, we're into, you know, the Saints starting a training camp. So, you know, we're into the new season with a new coach. I am very, very, very optimistic about Kellen Moore and the staff that he's putting together. I'm not that optimistic about Derek Carr, but you know what? Maybe he'll surprise us. And maybe what they surround Derek Carr with will surprise us. And maybe Spencer Rattler is going to show some promise, too. So I think there's a lot to look forward to. We'll be right back on WWL. All right, happy birthday to Lisa Loeb, who had this big hit back in the 90s. Lisa Loeb is 57 years old today. All right, a lot going on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. Last thing posted there was Americans say buy American, but they rarely do. Comment on that. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, market manager Dan Barron, Chris Miller, Courtney Love, and you. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.